Spirit coming and being in our lives when we believe in Jesus. And as far as I know, the Bible and faith in Christ is the only faith in the world that says that God comes in a personal manner to dwell within the believer. Other religions might say that God's around you. That's fine. He might be even in everything in an impersonal manner. That's not going to do folks much good. But if he would come as the one who created the whole universe and who loves us, like as strong as possibly being loved, that he would come and indwell us, that's God's gift to us when we receive Christ. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit, looking at what the New Testament says about him, and just some things to share in my experience. And if you have a story, give me your story, and I will edit it and include it in the sermon. Big emphasis on I will edit it. I don't want to know no irrational, errant teachings. Okay, very good. My first experience with the Holy Spirit was way back when I was 6 years old. Now, I didn't trust Christ, but I was taught things from the Bible in what we called catechism class, if you ever have that part of your background. And so I was taught in the first grade to, when I would pray, to say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the teacher taught us to say a lot of times, one God, one God. Now, as a six-year-old, and even after, you know, many, many years, it still doesn't connect with the mathematical view of the world. But in the name of the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. So there's something about God that's way different than any of us. He's God, and he's like a community in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that was very intimidating, and, you know, to this day has made an impact on me. That's the way the Lord is. And then at age 1 year later, learned a little more about the Holy Spirit as we were asked to repeat this before our peers and really the whole church. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who together with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. Okay, so just in that little phrase, which we all had to memorize, Nicene Creed. Okay, sometimes related to the Apostles' Creed. That was like a big move of Christians to say, we're gonna say this is what the Bible says, and we're gonna stick with it. But that the Holy Spirit was Lord. He's just like Jesus and the Father. He's one with them. Proceeds from the Father and the Son. And He's creator, Lord and giver of life. He gives life. There's no life that was given without the Holy Spirit. Okay, especially eternal life. Proceeds from the Father and Son together with the Father and Son, worshipped and glorified. So when every time we worship God, we worship God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that's the way that the Lord reaches out to us and expresses himself. Doesn't always make sense to us, but we can trust him even if we can't understand him totally. Just think of the close people in your life. You always understand them. Probably half the time, maybe, huh? You don't even understand yourself most of the time. When we seek to know him, it's not that what we can figure out, it's what he tells us about himself. So he says, hey, I'm Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're so glad. If you were looking in the Bible, God's desire for closeness. In the New Testament, God mentioned about 1,100 times the word God, Theos. Great honor to him. Jesus mentioned about 1,000 times. Jesus, Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit mentioned about 200 times. So he's mentioned about 200 times in the New Testament. Only about less than a half dozen in the Old Testament. So God says, I'm coming even more near and telling you about my Holy Spirit. And isn't it like the Holy Spirit to inspire the Bible and to include in the Bible, you know, 1,000 times in the New Testament honoring God, 1,000 times Jesus, and 200 times God's Spirit. In other words, He's saying, hey, I'm not going to make a big deal about my role. Okay, I'm going to point you to God. I'm going to point you to Jesus. It's a good lesson for us. Isn't that like Him to do that? It's a lesson for humility. We talked about the pride problem in Sunday school. There's no pride in God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're one, and also a community. So the wonderful gift of God's Holy Spirit, that God wants to be close to us, live within us like that. And next couple weeks, some good ministries of God the Holy Spirit. And you'll see, you can't always separate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when things are happening. So be merciful to yourself and others if they, you know, if they kind of say one thing and really point to the other. You'll see how that goes. So the Holy Spirit does some amazing works on our behalf. Let Him be honored and let God be glorified. First, He indwells in all Christians. Okay. You are God's temple. God's Spirit lives in you. So when you receive Christ, you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Second, He changes us from the inside out. Being a Christian is not just doing some things outwardly. I need a new heart from God. I need my mind changed over time. I need my will surrendered to God. God will help me with that. Okay, I can't do it on my own. Three, He grows in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I think of my life, or think of yourself if you're turning to Christ as an adult. We didn't have a lot of those qualities in our lives before we received Christ. I was not a loving person. I was not a patient person. I was impatient. I was not a joyful person. I was angry and combative. Love, joy, peace, definitely not a peaceful person. Fought with brothers weekly, every week, without fail. God comes, resides in us, changes us from the inside out. Oh, we can love God. We can love others. We learn how to be patient. That's every day God's working. Let me grow that patience in you. A lot of weeds in your heart over there. And so God's Spirit does that faithfully. He does for us what we can't do for ourselves. We should ask Him for help to do it. Work of the Holy Spirit, He tells us when we sin. When we sin, it's not just, you know, well, if I feel bad, it's a sin. If not, no problem. God says, this is against me. This is against my ways, my word. You're not loving me. You're not loving people. It's a clear warning. He brings conviction. He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is what a lot of people, even secular atheists, say. America needs to turn to, you know, just kind of on our knees. You know, we would say, yeah, we agree. Start in your own prayer closet. That'll spread gratitude. Convicts us of sin, and then gives us power to witness. The first apostles, you know, they wanted to tell others about Jesus. God said, "You wait." Jesus said, "I'll send you my Spirit, and then you'll be my witnesses. You'll receive the ability, the power to do this." I think in our own lives, one of the first changes I had way back, at that time 17. I wouldn't want to tell anybody about anything. I'd be like, just, you know, you're not interested. I'm not interested in telling you that. But when I received Christ, there was like an inward desire. I really want to tell somebody about God and about Jesus. And I have no idea how to do it. So I did it clumsily, but he gives you power to witness. And then He inspires the Bible as true. God's Spirit does. He gives us new birth. We'll never see God without Him causing us to be born again. He created all things. He's mentioned in Genesis. The Holy Spirit also prays for us when we don't know how to pray. Isn't that great? We stumble in our prayers. If you're in pain, it's hard to pray. When you're afraid, it's hard to pray. Your mind is anxious, going back and forth, back and forth. When you're spiritual lazy, it's hard to pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us. My people need help. Jesus, help everybody turn to you. So there's a constant conversation going on between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on your behalf. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And then he testifies about Jesus, and he reminds us what Jesus said. These are just a few things, and I wanted to give you some examples of how the Lord honors himself in the Bible as God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember, he's one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. Again, if somebody says God, and when the Jewish people said, the Lord our God is one Lord, even though they didn't know it, they were talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that's true about you and about me. Here's some good passages that show the oneness of God. In Ephesians 4, it says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit. In other words, be one as a bunch of Christians. You know, ironically, sometimes Christians fight over, who's more important in the Trinity? The Father, definitely. No, Jesus, definitely. No, the Holy Spirit, definitely. Come on, you have to say what I say. You have to have the experience that I had, or you stink. No, that's not what the Bible says. Okay. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit. You trust Christ. You're a brother and sister in Christ. There's one Spirit, one Lord, one God and Father over all and in all. That's an amazing thing. Actually, if you look in the Bible, you'll see if somebody says, the Holy Spirit lives in me, you know what they're really saying. Jesus and the Father live in me too. That's true. Because you can't take God and say, okay, the Holy Spirit, you play the organ today, and Jesus, you play the piano, and Father, you do the microphone. Okay? They're not going to do that. One God that cannot be separated. And even when people were to go and teach everything Jesus said, they do so in the name, not the names, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. That you're God, the Holy Spirit. We're glad about that. And Anselm, who thought about the Lord a lot more than all of us, he wrote some things down that would be helpful. He prayed to God one time. He said Anselm was a follower of Jesus in and around the turn of the first century, so about 1100. There are no parts in you, Lord, no parts in the Lord. You are truly a unitary being, indivisible by any conception. That's very important. That's something that the Bible teaches and that folks like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, have to come to grips with. It's not three gods, one God. He relates to us as his word says. He says, this is a tough one for us. I do not seek to understand that I may believe. I believe that I may seek to understand. For until I believe, I won't understand. That's really how we come to a lot of conclusions in life. We have to give our heart over, and then we see the evidence of the truth that is there. And, God's a God who reveals himself. We're glad about that. Jesus said, I come to give you another counselor. Emily had the phrase advocate. That's in there also. King James and ESV has the word helper. What a humbling thing to say. I need the helper. God says, I'm him. I'm going to give you my spirit that's just like Jesus. I send you another helper just like myself to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Wow. Nobody ever came to me and said, I'll be with you forever. As long as you live, maybe, that's good. But God says, with you forever. Oh my. What a gift. What a love he gives. advocate, intercessor, strengthener. The Greek word paraclete sticks in my mind because we have a parakeet, which means what I say, the bird is supposed to say, alongside. God, the Spirit, comes alongside us and actually resides in us. Okay, and He advocates on our behalf, like somebody who speaks up for you, similar to Jesus' intercessor. So you're standing before, we stand before God, a holy God, in His Word. He says, okay, to love God, to love one another. How's your heart with that? And we say, oh, I forgot, or oh, I'm terrible with that. But and what the advocate does, he says, I represent this one here. This one here, he or she, they fall down. Every day they fall down. But I'm standing on their behalf, and I want you to know, you know, I'm going to bring news that makes not guilty this one. And this one actually belongs to you, our Father, because they put their trust in Jesus. So the advocate, what a defense attorney, you know. He says, I will do this. I'm going to stand next to you. And actually, my goodness will be given to your account. So another counselor, another helper, comforter, advocate, that we're at peace with God. I saw this in real life in a fellow named Regis, who was at the hospital on Sean's floor. Regis, he's about 50 years old. When he was age 5, he got hit by a car from a fireman going to a false alarm. So it was a tragedy. The injured little boy and, of course, false alarm boy. So he repeated this story. And for 45 years, Regis, he can't have a normal life. His brain is damaged, so he can't speak real clearly. And he's wheelchair bound, and he only has one hand that works. And Regis had a close relationship with his parents, and when they passed, it broke his heart. But he said, I will see my parents again someday because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it took all his, you know, mental focus to be able to say that. And we noticed something about Regis. I couldn't believe it. He had a scar on his back. He showed us from the base of his neck all the way to his tailbone. Long as that candle, one big scar from one end to the other, where they tried to help his broken back. But he was thankful all the time. He was in pain all the time. But he said, "Oh," he says, "what am I going to do? I'm here." In other words, he was glad to just be there. And we noticed he would always try to be with other people. When it was lunchtime, he'd go and eat with others. When it was break time, he'd go hang out with others. He'd just wheelchair up to you and say, "How you doing today?" You know, and so he's relating and everything. And everybody knew him, and all the nurses knew him and loved him, not because of his behavior, but there was obviously God in his life being a helper to him beyond human strength. And that's the same. The Lord would do that for us. And we don't have to be totally injured for us to know that help. But if we're crushed by our own sin or by somebody else's sin in the past, God can help us be, you know, I'm going to reflect Jesus at this time. And so he had the evidence of the counselor, comforter, advocate, and strengthener in his life. And that's what the Lord does for us. So we know the Holy Spirit is with you, for you. God Himself is in you. You're never alone. Well, what a gift! Jesus said this when He was telling the disciples, "I'm not going to be here, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. You're not going to be like an orphan, feel abandoned. My Spirit will come, live in you, and be with you forever." Thank you, Lord. What a gift. And somebody said, obviously, it's to our advantage. Because if just Jesus was here physically, we'd have to, you know, all move to Jerusalem to hang out with Him. But when His Spirit comes, He resides in us wherever we go. And That's His love that does that. His Spirit too, in closing, the peace of Jesus is given to us. How there's a heartache and heartbreak in the world. Talked to a nurse up on the floor we were at, and one of my family members said, can I pray for you? What do you want me to pray for you about? It wasn't me. It was the more aggressive evangelists back there. And she said, pray for peace, you know. And she didn't look too happy. And they just followed up. What kind of peace are you talking about? Peace everywhere, she said. Peace everywhere. Obviously very distraught and a helpful lady, but overwhelmed by problems. And we were thinking, well, only Jesus, the peace of Jesus, how peaceful Jesus was could be given to her. The Lord would do that for us. He says, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. This has to be a gift. It's not like do 30 things and I'll give you peace. He says, my peace I give to you. So at least we're looking for Him with our empty hands and saying, please give peace. Another person we know, not to embarrass him and his family, but Jim Patterson, he has peace with many physical challenges, and many, almost everybody going through cancer has that. And it doesn't mean you have to feel good or not cry, but it means I know God will get me through this, even if times like it's hard for me to believe it. God's peace is stronger than our belief strength. And then the Holy Spirit's great job of having us be able to love God and obey Him. Without God's Spirit, not interested in loving God, not interested in obeying Him. But Him in our hearts says, this is life. You know, to love God and to express that love in our obedience. So exciting that a 5-year-old, 4-year-old Christian could do this. 99-year-old Christian could say, I'm going to love God today just by doing what He wants me to do. And if I don't know what to do, I stick with the 2 big commandments, you know, love God and love people, because Paul said, if you do this, you fulfill the law. But God's love is so powerful, and we attack a sin problem in many ways in our lives, and it's good. We pray about it. We get angry about it. We say, you know, the world screwed up. If it was only better, and, you know, we'll yell louder so it gets better. But remember, Jesus said, look, if you love me, you'll do what I ask. And that'll make a tremendous impact on people's lives. There's a guy or gal, they just do the right thing. And they do it within the faith to God. It doesn't even draw attention to themselves. Must be a God who's real out there. You know, and as close as their next breath. So the love of God from His Spirit. Paul got all excited, Romans 5. He says, God's love has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given you. And what a gift. So thank the Lord for the gift of Himself. He names Himself the Holy Spirit. And give thanks to Him forever. Greater is He that is in you than any evil or evil one in the world, as His Bible says. Let's pray together. Father, to talk about the Holy Spirit, just a wonderful privilege, but to follow You, a better privilege. Thank You for the gift of residing in us. We are humbled. We forget. We don't know what to do. Sometimes we get so excited, we say, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, and it really wasn't You, it was us. And that's okay. If we're so excited about You, sometimes we're going to do that. But help us at least follow Your word and be glad for all the gifts You bring. And all of them are out of our control. So, dear Holy Spirit, if You do something in somebody's life, help us to rejoice and not say, Well, He didn't do that for me, so you might be just bluffing, you know. But to not put limitations on You, but to honor Yourself all the way to heaven, which You received glory from everlasting to everlasting, long before Pentecost, long before renewal movements. There was the Holy Spirit doing His work as the faithful Lord you are. Bless each one here with fullness of yourself and emptying of sin and self. In Jesus' name, amen.